Creating your own color-coded plan is a way to decide what items are the most important to you about your business. Then you get to make a plan that provides solutions that fit your style. Facing tough decisions is never fun, but when you've left yourself a roadmap, it gets a little bit easier. Welcome to the Virginia Foodie Podcast, where we lift a lid on the craft food industry and tell the stories behind the good food, good people, and good brands that you know and love. If you've ever come across a yummy food brand and wondered, how did they do that? How did they turn that recipe into a successful business? Then we've got some stories for you. Hi there, foodie friends. I'm George Deering, and I provide content marketing strategy and training to the good food industry. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you're new here, then welcome. I appreciate that you've tuned in, and you should check out past episodes for interviews with industry leaders and for tips about marketing for the good food industry. But if you're a regular listener, then you know this episode is airing after a pretty long break, and what a break it's been. As an example of how it's been going for me, I started writing this episode early in September so that it could air on September 22nd with the intention of telling you what I did this summer. September 22nd is always a milestone of sorts for me because it marks the 265th day of the year. It's the signal that there are only 100 days left in 2023. For the past several years, I've been using this window of time, these last 100 days, to refocus my annual goals while I lay the groundwork for the calendar year to come. You can check out episodes 45 and 32 for examples of what I've done in the past, and also pick up some tips for how you can start the practice in your own business. But like all things this year, it seems my plans got interrupted by my life. And it's taking me a few more weeks to finish the task. I'm sure many of you can relate. I'm a marketer, though, and I thought I should tell you why I stopped marketing so abruptly. Well, on July 26th, I was involved in a pretty severe traffic accident. And while it could have been dramatically more life-changing than it actually was, or frankly, even life-ending, it still has had a big impact on the course of my life. This is not the platform where I will tell you all the details of my life story. Rather, it's where I want to talk about what an entrepreneur should do when faced with a life-altering event. We all have them, all the time, life events that need our undivided attention. A child gets sick. Our landlord sells the building. A partner leaves. A parent falls ill. Or we struggle with an unexpected illness or traffic accident. Suddenly, the plan you had isn't the priority any longer. Something comes up that can interrupt you for a week or even a year. In my one-on-one coaching, I've talked about having a three-tiered plan coded green, yellow, and red, like a traffic signal, to deal with your life events or just planning for your business in general. Green is the desired state when everything is working the way it should. There are enough sales in the pipeline to keep your business running, and you're operating in a slightly tight fashion, a healthy state of stress to meet all the demands, but not so busy you're falling apart. Just busy enough to inspire efficiency and to give you room to think about and plan for growth. Yellow is your caution zone. It's a plan that outlines what to do when sales fall below a predetermined mark. The actions you should take are preventive measures that you put in place before the cash flow dries up. The plan should outline how you cut costs and remove the fluff from your expenses. That dollar mark you set before you actually drop down to it, that is the signal for you to schedule shorter work weeks or lay off non-essential staff. It's also the time to work your plan for how and where to ramp up your sales and marketing efforts into high gear so you can fill that sales pipeline back up with the right kind of accounts. Hitting that low sales number without a plan can often instill panic, causing you to grab whatever comes your way, which may not be the right kind of partner for a healthy, thriving business. The yellow folder has a strategy for recovery when things slip. The red folder is the one you may never want to open, but you need it to help you and your team and your spouse or partner understand exactly when and how you call it quits. I've opened my red folder twice in my life, and while it was never a fun thing to do, looking back, I realize that every single person working for me during those very hard times made it out of my company and on to bigger and better things with some level of severance, which is a lot better than showing up to locked doors and no paycheck. Because I've also had that happen to me twice in my life. I woke up and went to a job that disappeared overnight. And who wants to be that business owner? Not me. So creating a red folder is a necessary evil in the life of an entrepreneur. It can feel as distasteful as a prenuptial agreement, but it is a worthy exercise to sit down and describe what the end looks like for your business. Now, at the heart of all this color-coded planning is the concept that you get to choose how you handle emergencies. But being in the middle of an emergency is not the right time to expect to make your best decisions. Creating your own color-coded plan is a way to decide what items are the most important to you about your business. Then you get to make a plan that provides solutions that fit your style. Facing tough decisions is never fun, but when you've left yourself a roadmap, it gets a little bit easier. Right now, just 10 weeks after my accident, I'm somewhere between my red and yellow folders, but I also know that I'm still in the midst of my recovery. And since I am my own staff, I'm fortunate to have a lot more leeway about how I make decisions about what is next. I have a lot of gratitude for that absence of anxiety. The other interruption that happened this summer was the story about my friend Emily Harpster of Sugar Bear SEVO. Coincidentally, this summer, she had her own life event, and that prevented us from being able to record the fourth and final installment of my series about her startup ice cream business. It's not my place to share her personal story either, but I can tell you that she made lemonade from her life event lemons, or rather she made ice cream flavors that cataloged the journey she was walking through. You can check out her Instagram account for her creative spin on managing a time of crisis. She leaned into the hyperlocal audience she has as a small town brand, and it's a perfect example of a business choosing to handle a crisis in a way that suited her and the brand presence she is creating. You can find her account under the handle at Sugar Bear SEVO. That's the words sugar and bear and C-V-I-L-L-E for Charlottesville. The other good business news to share is that by the end of her first year, Emily had resolved her product line, secured some very steady and profitable wholesale accounts, and formed partnerships with other small businesses to create flavors and markets for her craft ice cream brand. One of my favorite collaborations for Sugar Bear is with Cake Bloom, a bakery specializing in fancy cakes adorned with edible flowers. That business developed a new menu item for their dine-in customers using Sugar Bear ice cream. Cake Bloom serves up deconstructed cake flights that pair cake scraps with dollops of icing one night a week. Their partnership with Sugar Bear is a deconstructed cake and sundae combo. Cake scraps, toppings, and a scoop of ice cream. And if you still can't choose, those sundae flavors are also available as flights. There's just so many good ideas in there, I almost can't take it apart. My favorite has to be the creative way to use the cake scraps as another revenue stream, and it's delightful. Is there something in your product line that could become an add-on product? Could you make croutons out of bread scraps? Or package crumbled chips as a garnish? Like that iconic potato chip-topped omelet in the show The Bear? Or what about cookie crumbles reshaped into pie crusts? Why not? Oreo did it. Maybe you could do it too. Even if it's just a short-run miniature product line, please make sure it's profitable. But there I go again. spinning off into a wormhole of what if ideas. It's so easy to do that as an entrepreneur. In general, we are creatives, and the creative process is a lot more fun than planning. But I'm here to help you with the planning as well as the fun creation. So if you're considering my 3-stage crisis plan for your business, then do reach out to me because I'm happy to help. Even though I don't know if I'm red or yellow these days, I'm still out here working with small brands, still creating content and strategies, but for the meantime, I'm on a slightly smaller scale. And I'm still working my way through the last 100 days of this year. But for the first time in a long time, I really don't know what the next year will look like for my business. I, personally, will still be deeply immersed in the good food industry to some capacity, but it may take a different shape from where I was in January of 2023. And with that tiny bit of uncertainty, my friends, this is a wrap on the Good Food Marketing Podcast for 2023. I have really enjoyed connecting with you through this platform, and I hope to bring a version of this back to you in the future. And until then, you can find me at good-food-marketing.com. Sign up for my newsletter and continue to get updates and tips from me about marketing your good food brand. I won't say goodbye today, but I will say, see you later. Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about how to grow your own food brand, then click on Grow My Brand at vafoodie.com. If you're a lover of local food, then be sure to follow us. We are at VA Foodie on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join the conversation and tell us about your adventures with good food, good people, and good brands.